Oh, we've been talking about the fullness of time and things are being fulfilled. One of the things the Spirit said to me, now I want you to talk about the fullness of Christ. Because in this time of fulfillment and fullness, Christ, the body, I'm talking about the body. I'm telling you, the Lord's been ministering to me about the body, the body, the body, the body. It's my body. Nobody else's body. It's my body. You are my members. I want the fullness of myself to be expressed through my body. The body of Christ is going to be glorified. Does everybody get it? The body of Christ is going to be glorified. The world's going to run to the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus is not coming until he comes through the body. That's why he left the body here. That's why he established the church. He's the head of the body. Amen. So there's a fullness of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. The fullness of Christ. The Christ. Let's see, how can I... The Bible tells us that he who's in Christ is a new creation, where all things pass away, all things become new. Amen? And Christ, and the Word tells us in the book of Revelations that the Christ had come. Well, when we begin to really understand the Christ, it's because it's the eternal presence and power of God Almighty. He put a body was prepared for him. Christ was established in this body. That body was not made from flesh and blood. It was made from the Word of God. We were made from the dust. But the Word of God made the dust. So we're still made from the Word. Amen? And the Christ, God's power, God himself, his eternal presence, power and truth, compacted into a body. Jesus, the Christ. Christ is not his last name. Jesus, the Christ. The Christ, the eternal presence of God Almighty, the truth, all compact in a body that had to be made of the Word or else it'd explode, came into this realm through human means, but supernaturally. The Father impregnated the woman, just through the seed. He didn't have to have sex. Because he creates all things. But he came into the natural realm from the complete eternal realm. Come on, think about this. He held all eternity. He holds everything. He took his robe off. He dismantled himself from his position. He humbled himself, and he said, I'll come. I'll go, Father. I'll go. I'll become the Word who became flesh. I will be the Christ for your glory. And I will bring glory to your name. Everything I do will be representing to you, because it's your creation that you want to reconcile back to you, that the enemy has stolen. Jesus came to set things right. Then he died, he rose again, 50 days later, which 50 is also known as Jubilee, he releases his spirit to mankind. His spirit that was in that body that could destroy the world, amen, that could raise everybody from the dead at any moment, that created all things and held all things. That same spirit that was in Jesus that rose from the dead is in me and you. The battle begins because of how you think. That's why he says you must renew your thought pattern. Only the Spirit of God can free us with our cooperation. So there must be a cooperation. But the Christ came. Now his spirit is in those who have been baptized in the Spirit. And he wants to raise us to another level where the fullness of Christ can express himself to the world, because the body of Christ is about to become glorified. Why? To glorify him. Remember, Jesus was glorified to glorify the Father. Now the body's going to be glorified to glorify Christ. Amen? Ephesians 4:11, please. And he himself, what? Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of what? The body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. So we become all a level, we have become to a level of equal faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a what? Perfect man. The unity of faith, the knowledge of Jesus, his words, complete and perfect, a level of character. Oh, yes. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To complete and perfect a level of character of divine nature in Christ. It is an ability to overcome self. It is the ability to overcome the voice of the stranger. It is the ability to overcome your emotions. It is the ability to overcome fear. It is the ability to overcome temptation. It is the ability to overcome lust. It is the ability to overcome doubt. It's the ability to overcome deception. And it is the ability to overcome the presence of evil sin. The fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, immature, wimps, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, false religion, doctrines of demons, the news media, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, its participation, its cooperation, which causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, doesn't that not explain and characterize the body of Christ is about to be glorified with the fullness of Christ? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been what? Perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now think about that. As he is, so are we in this world. In other words, we are in this world, but it's him in us. As he is, so are we in this world, in this reality. Amen? As he is, so are we in this world, the fullness of Christ in the body. Oh, glory. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. James chapter 1. Oh, yes. It's reaching the level of what we call complete and perfect. We are not perfect in ourselves. You can look in the mirror and say, man, you're not perfect. The things we do every day ain't perfect. We make mistakes. Amen? But we're perfect in Him. See, because we're always looking at us in this reality, not looking through His eyes of the true reality. As we begin to look through what He sees, things are different. And that can't happen unless you're filled with His Word and filled with His Spirit. And you've come to the area where you are done with you. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside what? Is everybody there? All filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your butt, your soul. But be what? Doers of the word. Yes, we've talked about this. Not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Many people come to Bible study, but they don't put the word in practice. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's an idiot. He is like a man, observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately does what? Forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer, in other words, he puts to practice the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. Receive the word of God, becoming a doer, not just a hearer. And keeping yourself clean, unspotted from the world, uncontaminated. Go to James chapter 2, 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works or action? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are in need for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works or cooperation with the word of God, it is what? It's what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you understand that reading the word right now and speaking it, you are sowing it and eating it? If you ain't speaking it, you ain't getting it. Hello. Good. Verse 19. Hallelujah. You believe that there is one God, you will do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So is speaking a word a work? Yes. Decreeing. You're decreeing. If you ain't speaking a word, then you ain't speaking, it's no faith. You must decree. You are sowing in the Spirit to reap life. You are sowing in the Spirit to reap life. Other than that, you won't reap nothing. The only thing you're going to do is reap flesh because it's rebellion then. Amen? Hallelujah. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Deader than a doornail. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works or his cooperation, because that's what works is about. And by his works, faith was made what? Perfect. And the scriptures fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So your cooperation in faith is essential. It's essential. Nothing happens. That's why when people come into the discipleship house, the first thing they're doing is giving a prayer book to start sowing. When people call me and say, pray for me, I say, no. You got to sow first. You need to speak the word of God before I'm going to pray for you. Because we've had people come into services when we had a larger and bigger location, a bigger congregation. People used to come from all over to come for deliverance and healing and get touched by the Lord. And there'd be prayers, prayers in the back, deliverance prayer and daily confession. I've had people come up, would you pray for me? No, did you speak those prayers yet? Go back there and pray those prayers and then come up and I'll pray for you. Why? Because you got to sow to receive. Amen? You got to sow to receive. We had a gentleman, it had been, he called us, he was a mess. His wife was filing for divorce, everything was messed up. He didn't know what to do, he's been a crack addict for years. Up and down in his business. He called, crying on the phone, wanting help. We got him prayers. He went and got prayers. He said, man, pray those prayers seven times to come on to service. He came, prayed those prayers seven times. Towards the end of worship, the Lord said, call him up. I called him up, started praying for him. Cast so many demons out of him. We went around the halfway to the church. I said, Lord, I'm not going to make it around the whole church here. I'm getting tired. Halfway around the church, it was like lightning hit this man. Boom, him and me, we went both flying. He got up a brand new creature, brand new creation, totally delivered and healed. He said, what do I do with my wife now? I said, nothing. Shut up. You've tried to convince her, you've lied to her all these years. Just be quiet. Well, she's filing for divorce. Let it go. Let God build the house. He went home, they were sleeping in separate rooms. He started coming to services 2 weeks later. She wanted to know what happened to him. What's going on with this man that I'm divorcing? He said, why don't you come and see? She brought her and her kids to the service. They all got baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. Their family's been reconciled. They've been serving the Lord ever since. And this happened 20 years ago. More than that. But you have to sow to get something. We've seen this all over. Even in our prayer lines. When we're doing our prayer lines, they had to speak the prayers first before we pray for them. Or repeat after me. Amen? They got to sow. We're going to start our 24-hour prayer line up again. We start our water bottling facilities, too, with the Word of God on them. All this is coming to pass. Things are about to explode big time. We're going to be involved in one of the global outreaches because it's a Joseph ministry and it's an end time ministry. It only takes a handful of people to change the world that are like-minded, like-willed. That's all it takes. Jesus had 12. Look what happened. And one was a devil. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, demons hate the blood of Jesus, man. They hate the blood. When we're doing deliverance, you speak the blood of Jesus, the demons, they hate it. The blood of Jesus come against you. They start choking the people and stuff like that. I was doing deliverance on this one guy, and the demon started manifesting, and he started choking him. I got up. Okay. He's going, where are you going? I said, he'll leave you in a minute. And he did. He can't stay there. By faith. It's not anything we're doing. It's everything that he's done. Amen? That guy was angry with me. Why don't you remove that demon right away? Did he leave you? Yes. What do you want? Don't look at me to remove it. Hallelujah. Remove your own demons. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Let's speak it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. The knowledge of who? Knowledge of Jesus. Who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Come on, say that with me again. Exceedingly and great precious promises. That through these great, exceedingly precious promises, his word, that through these you may partake of the divine nature. So how do you partake of the divine nature? Through the knowledge of him. Oh. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through lusts. Oh, yes. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound. If they are yours and they abound and you're activating these things, you're cooperating with these, you're participating, you're accepting these things, you're believing these, you're putting them into faith, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never, never, never stumble. So why do people stumble? Because they're not doing these things. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow. Divine nature is the fullness of Christ, his words of promise and knowledge of his character. It brings the fullness of the divine nature of Christ in me and you by your participation, by your acceptance in faith, by your proclamation and your decree. Why? Because there's life and the death and the power of the tongue. Psalm 24. The fullness of Christ. Oh, he wants to so express himself through us. When the enemy tells you you can't do this, the Spirit tells you you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When the enemy tells you you're a failure, Jesus tells you you're a victory. When the enemy brings regret and despair, Holy Spirit comes and tells you who you are, really are. Why? Because what's the first thing the enemy wants to steal from you? Your identity. When you begin to compromise your identity, you begin to step away from faith. You begin to move out of position. You begin to look at yourself, and you go into woe is me. Woe is me. How come this only happens to me? And then you go by, then your feelings will jump up and dictate what you're supposed to do. Nullifying the voice of the Spirit. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in there. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may access his presence? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Yes. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, and his name is Jesus. Clean hands and a pure heart. We become divinely separated. When the fullness of Christ begins to take over, we become divinely separated from our selfishness. We become divinely separated from our selfishness, our worldliness, covetousness, and we fall into a state of sanctification. A state of sanctification. Because there is a sense that you know that you must be sanctified unto the Lord. You do not want anything unclean to touch you. Now, that doesn't mean you clean your house 14 times a day and bleach it. Or take a bath and bleach. It ain't going to do nothing. Amen? This is sanctification. It's a life of purification. It's a living a life of purification. You are purified because you've been sanctified. And only by the Lord. He separates us. He sets us apart for Him. Amen? We're His, not ours anymore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to what? Please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in what? Holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Sanctification. See, if... And it's something that must be understood. We are sanctified unto the Lord. So we don't want to touch anything unclean. We don't want to agree with anything that's unclean. We don't want to prove anything that's unclean. Because we become contaminated. And you don't even know it until it begins to overtake you. Bit by bit by bit. Next thing you know, you're saying things you shouldn't. And those thoughts are overcoming you. You don't have the ability now to remove them and stop them before they can plant seed. Because now the fullness of Christ is being depleted. Does everybody understand that? So there's an area where you must stay stirred up. We must stay stirred up. When you sense oppression, kick it out. Don't try and figure out where it came from. Who cares? Kick it out. Oh, it must have been this. No, it must have been that. No, oh, no, it was 15 years ago. Now, God, did you forgive me? Hello? Who told you that? Again, that's the carnal intellect. They try to figure things out. Let's see. And while people are trying to figure out where something started from, the enemy's just piling more stuff in. Boom, boom, boom. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. In other words, stop thinking like a Gentile. Hello? Stop thinking like a Gentile. Start thinking like Christ. having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. As a man thinks, so he is. Because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, there we go again, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all cleanliness with greediness. Greediness. Greediness is a desire. There's something very powerful, he says. He says, you've not so learned Christ if you're allowing these things to happen. You've not allowed the fullness of Christ to maintain its position. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, by as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, you reject, you say no concerning your former conduct, your former way of thinking, your former feelings. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, which are desires, aren't they? And be renewed in the spirit of your thoughts, your mind, so that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the... Oh, yes. So many people, when the enemy comes knocking, they say, who's there? And the devil lies. He won't tell you it's him. He says, it's emotion. It's feeling. It's remember. It's guilt. It's oppression. It's condemnation. It's whatever. It's confusion. Oh, come on in and have a seat. And the worst state starts all over again. It's like a little leak that begins to go more and more. Then you go back to trying to figure out. And that begins to water everything that's just been planted. Stop it! Verse 28. That who stole, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who's in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, especially yourself. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ, forgave you. Living out of the mind is dangerous. And that's where many people are still living out of the mind, not living out of the Spirit. Living out of the mind, not the Spirit. It says, make no place of evil thoughts. Put new man of divine nature in the fullness of Christ in place. And then put protection. See, it's our responsibility to protect the new man and the divine nature. Amen? With the full armor of God and a warrior mindset. I'm going to say it again. With the full armor of God and a warrior mindset. That's how you protect the new man and the divine nature. You know, and one of the things we must know that our tongue is a sword. It's got life and death in it. And it's either going to pierce the enemy or you. Amen? Oh, Revelation chapter 3 in verse 14. You know, think about if the Holy Spirit could slap us in the back of the head every time we considered to compromise. Whoa, you wouldn't do it. I mean, think about that. Every time we would even consider to compromise something from it. Nope, don't do that. Sometimes we need to ask him, Lord, slap me in the head. Don't let me do it. Kick me in the butt. Can you imagine a bunch of believers walking up? Oh, God. Some of us need it. Do you want to stir it, to wake? You know, what am I even, why am I even thinking that? Why am I even allowing that? I remember one time we were casting out devils. I got a lot of stories about casting out devils. This was by mistake. We had a prayer meeting, and the Lord said to me, go lay your, after the prayer meeting, he goes, lay your hands on this girl. And I said, would you mind if I laid my hands on your feet? Just her feet. She goes, no, go ahead. I laid my hands on her feet. This demon come up to the front. I'm going to kill her. I'm like, whoa. The only thing I knew was to get, I mean, I was as afraid as probably him. Come out in the name of Jesus. Man, I ain't dealing with this stuff. After about 20 or 30 demons came out, I had one demon to come out and go, oh, where will I go? I thought, oh, yeah. I think, wait a minute. Try to deceive me. What do you mean, wherever you go? Come on, in the name of Jesus, go back to the pit. I mean, we cast out about 33 demons that night, right, out of this girl. We just had a simple little prayer meeting, man. So that was our first time we got involved. We were only a couple months old. Just decided to have a prayer meeting in our house, a little worship, you know, people came by. And, yeah, no problem. It's never stopped. Had people pulling up on my driveway, heroin addicts. Oh, man, this guy's got demons. You want to cast devils on him? But, you know, there's some people that the demon, they haven't really surrendered to release the demon. I mean, you're not going to sit there and smoke a cigarette and say, yeah, cast the spirit out. Stand there holding a beer in your hand. Yeah, get rid of this demon. You know, ain't gonna happen like that. You need to sow. I've had people say, you know, I really have the spirit of nicotine and this, that one. Okay, go clean your ashtray, throw out all the cigarettes, pray this prayer a few times, and we'll come. We'll pray for you. And it's gone. You know, so many times, because the devil's convinced people that the spirit of nicotine is the hardest thing to get rid of. Oh, I can quit drinking, I can quit using heroin, but I can't quit smoking cigarettes. Who told you that? That's the easy one. I've seen them run around my living room and then finally run up, open the door, say, get out. We've had people come and visit us on the campus. We didn't even have to pray for that demon to leave. And they'd be sitting there. They'd be talking with us for a while. And about 45 minutes later, they're going, you know what, I don't have a desire to smoke a cigarette. Yeah. As soon as you step in God's presence, that demon hates it. We have people smoking 20, 30 years. All of a sudden they come in. They come into the program. The first thing they're saying, you know, I forgot about smoking cigarettes. I've been here a week. Didn't have to cast the devil out because what? They're praying the prayers. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. But you've got to have faith behind it. And God knows when you don't have the faith, but he's giving you enough faith to just speak it. So you're sowing. So he brings you to level soul so you can reap. Amen? But that's in everything. You want to be healed, pray for somebody's healing. You want to be delivered, pray for somebody's deliverance. Pray. You don't have to go there and lay hands and go with all kinds. Man, you could pray behind closed doors. Anoint the head of the sick. You ain't got to pour two bottles of water on them or oil on them. Anoint your house. You don't have to fall and slip and slide in there. You anoint it once, that's it. If the anointing oil's still there, you say, I re-anoint that oil. You don't have to go, and you don't have to drink the bottle. Hallelujah. Hebrewed. Revelation 3, verse 14, please. Everybody okay? Faith! Forever attached in the heavenlies. 3:14, praise God, are we ready? And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, that's compromised, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel you, in other words, I command you, to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? See. Now these nuggets are called revelation. They're called what? Revelation. Why? Because when the Spirit of God releases revelation to you, your restraints come back on. Your restraints of what? The flesh. That's where he says, lack of revelation, amen, causes the restraints to fail. You're no longer restraining your flesh. That's why you must have revelation, illumination. It causes a stirring. Is everybody okay? And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous, and repeat, be zealous. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him what? Hear, not listen. Let him what? Hear. That's totally different than listening. Too many people are listening. Yeah. They just agree. Oh, yeah. But they're really, it's not hearing. Goes beyond into the Spirit. Hearing says, I'm going to take this and practice it. Amen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Let's speak it. Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which to what? Stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder. Please grab hold of this. Reminder. I'm going to stir up the good things, the pure thoughts. I want to stir them up by bringing to what? Remembrance of them. That you may be mindful of the words which have been spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for the fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years of one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Oh, Hebrews 12, and verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, the shaking is to bring repentance. The shaking is to bring repentance. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, that's his imaginations, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? That doesn't mean you can run red lights and stuff like that. Amen? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but of our no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Wow. You know, we see a lot of religions where, you know, because of the way they dress and whatever, they have a sense of false humility. You don't know what they're doing behind closed doors. Amen? They may have a form of godliness, but if they're denying the power, that means they can't overcome. You can only hold off so much in your own strength. Amen? Especially if you're introducing all these demons and whatever, all these false religions and doctrines and so forth. Well, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for preparation because you're a good daddy. I pray for everyone's healing here tonight, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that that healing oil will penetrate every part of their being and bring healing to every part of their being, raising them up, nourishing them, renewing their youth according to your word, visiting them in dreams and visions and revelations, and expressing yourself and establishing yourself through with the divine nature and the fullness of Christ through each and every one. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God.